So, the 11th step of mindfulness of breathing is breathing in, one concentrates. Breathing out, one concentrates. Concentrates the mind. And so this relates to the whole topic of samadhi in Buddhism, a word that's often translated as concentration. And we're spending more days on this step because the samadhi is such an important foundation for the final steps of mindfulness of breathing. And we don't want to rush through this. Ideally, you're kind of coming along a little bit, following just enough, getting a sense or a feel for what these steps are about, that you have some inner reference point for what we're doing as we continue going on, even though the next steps are getting to very kind of more, classically are describing deeper and deeper states of meditation. These 16 steps are also relevant on well short of deep states of meditation. We kind of can go through them even in relatively ordinary states and recognize kind of little shifts that represent these different states. So I'm hoping there's enough, by going slow enough, you can follow enough. So we're spending more time with samadhi. And I've already said some of this, that the word in this 16 stages for concentrate has also been translated as steady. And I like to translate it as unify the mind, steady the mind, or stabilize the mind. The word is sammahadati, and the verb adati means to place something. So it's like placing the mind, or placing awareness on the object that we're going to focusing on. So placing it on the breathing. I love the expression landing, just landing on it, and just kind of gently landing like a little helicopter or held a drone or something, or like a bird that comes in and just kind of, I guess it flies in, almost stops in the air, inch or so above the ground, and then just lands on the ground. So we come right in there, we land, and settle, place ourselves. I'm very fond of using the word composure as this. We're composing ourselves on the breathing, and that samadhi is an act of composing ourselves, because of the word pose also means to place or to stand someplace. So we're taking a stand and resting in there. And to settle, to steady, are all these words associated with samadhi. And now samadhi itself is often translated as concentration, but it more generally means meditation or a state that we're in, a state of mind that we're in, that can be many different states where we're quite settled and steady and peaceful. And I wanted to read you very early commentary from the Abhidhamma, a very early commentary, where it lists, it kind of defines samadhi. And it's a wonderful definition, a whole series of little definitions. Samadhi means embracing. Samadhi means completion. Samadhi means single-pointed. Samadhi means unconfused. Samadhi means unscattered. Samadhi means undisturbed. Samadhi means unperturbed. Samadhi means liberation. And the next one is particularly nice, next series. Samadhi is seeking harmony. Samadhi is acquiring harmony. Samadhi is receiving harmony. Samadhi is grasping harmony, taking hold of it. Samadhi is entering harmony. Samadhi is going along in harmony. Samadhi is lightening up in harmony. Samadhi is being lit up in harmony. Samadhi is harmony, welfare, and happiness. So, I think it's a wonderful list. This idea of harmony, or evenness, or balance, the word is sama, S-A-M-A. So you get a very different feeling for samadhi from these kinds of descriptions than you would if you just told that samadhi is one-pointedness of mind. And when you talk about these absorption states, jhana, which sometimes the way that they're talked about, they have an intensity and a kind of laser idea, and people really try hard to get into it, not really realizing a big part of this samadhi is letting go, relaxing, settling deeper and deeper and deeper. And then, but for these jhanas, these absorption states, the verbs related to them are entering the states and abiding in them. And this idea of entering is a beautiful image, that we're not looking to zero in, we're not looking to force ourselves to be a state, but rather we're kind of entering into, and I like to think of entering into a sacred area, a sacred piece of land or a temple, where we enter into with some reverence and respect and care. And how we are, how we enter, is an important part of the entering. And then the two verbs are to enter and to abide. It means that we take time just to linger in those states, to reside in those states. In whatever kind of samadhi states or good states or nourishing states there are, we abide in them so that we can be conditioned by them. There's a reconditioning process that happens through meditation, that we're allowing ourselves to, life that as we go through can condition us in all kinds of negative ways. And meditation is to undo that. The conditioning that comes from greed, hatred, and delusion is very different than the condition that comes from generosity and love and wisdom. And so some people have even said that samadhi is kind of a reparenting. If parenting didn't go so well for us growing up, it has the very deep and profound impact on us too, if we allow ourselves to be nourished by it, which requires abiding, abiding in it, dwelling in it, so that we really can let the goodness of these states really seep in and affect us. And if we're in a hurry to get more and more concentrated, we're not going to allow the nourishment to really recondition us and open us and soften us in a way that's useful on the path of liberation. And I thought I would also read to you a list of the things the Buddha talks about that he encouraged people to abide in. So he's not just saying, in modern United States, there's often discussion about being rather than doing, and meditation is a chance just to be. I don't think the Buddha would quite say it that way. Rather than being, he talks about abiding, maybe very closely related, just abide. But he's always talking about abiding in something that's wholesome and good, not just being angry, or fuming. If you just abide in that, maybe that has a negative impact. If that fuming and resentment and anger just kind of simmering along in some way. So that's a whole different topic about, how to be wise with things like anger. But for the Buddha, it's abiding. So here's these states of abiding the Buddha talks about. Abiding in safety. Abiding in fearlessness. Abiding in a mind free from the hindrances. Abiding in equanimity. Abiding in contentment. Abiding in pleasure. Abiding in happiness and gladness. Abiding in happiness without moving the body or uttering a word. abiding in loving kindness, abiding in compassion, abiding in a mind like space, abiding in the Dharma, abiding observing impermanence, abiding in stillness, devoted to a pleasant abiding here and now. Samadhi states are, Buddha often describes as a pleasant abiding here and now. And then abiding in the four foundations of mindfulness. And it's very significant that the word is abiding in the four foundations. It doesn't say practice the four foundations of mindfulness. It says abide in them. Abiding in bliss. Abiding in emptiness. Abiding in peaceful liberations. Abiding in the supreme goal. So to abide, one has to be patient. I think of abiding as being very closely akin to being in a receptive state. So we abide, we're patient, we're not in a hurry. And we receptive state to feel the goodness of all these states, all these ways of being that can happen. And so we're talking here now about the 11th step of Anapanasati. So, of course, when we sit down to meditate, there are times when these are not available, and we are angry, we are agitated. And to sit down and say, just sit there and abide in these good feelings, simply doesn't work. And so we learn to practice with the first steps of Anapanasati that really support us in the challenging states of being that we can have in daily life. But as meditation proceeds, then at some point, what I'm calling today the goodness, the nourishing feelings, the beneficial feelings, sensations that are here, the Buddha encourages us to abide in them. And then when they arise in samadhi, in these states of harmony, subtleness, steadiness, unification, that we really kind of, now we're really here in the present moment, and really feel that in the present there's a kind of harmony and joy and well-being, gladness. All these possible different flavors of the goodness that might be there. Whatever the flavor is of the day, there's also a very important place to abide in it, to receive it, to let it nourish you and fill you and let it kind of penetrate and permeate yourself in some way. And to dwell in these states is not to be thinking about them. It's not be seeking and planning and expecting and wanting and holding on to things. It's just simply abiding, just allowing them to be there and just kind of basking in it or enjoying it and breathing with it, breathing through it. Now, this mindfulness of breathing is always, the reference point is always breathing, breathing in and breathing out. So we're always kind of using that as a support, as a guide, as a grounding, as a pointer, as a way of staying in these different steps. And so now we're staying, breathing, abiding in these states, abiding in the present moment, in the pleasant state here and now. So the word in Pali is viharati. It comes related to the word vihara, meaning a monastery, a place where monks and nuns reside. And so you might, for the next rest of the day, next 24 hours, have this word abide or abiding, viharati, vihara, as something you keep close by. Maybe you write it on a sticky note and have it with you or have it posted some places. And see when in the day it's beneficial for you to pause and abide with what's happening. And especially when there's a goodness or something nourishing and you abide and really take it in. Learn to abide and learn to be nourished by your abiding states. So thank you, and we'll continue with this samadhi for a few more days until we get to the 12th step, which is liberating the mind. So that's only the 12th of the 16. So thank you all very much.